In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this fourth Sunday after Pascha. And today's gospel is very rich and deep in meaning. And we can see how Christ draws the soul of the Samaritan woman out of the depths of spiritual darkness and sinfulness upwards to the heavenly life, just as she drew water from the depths of the well to the surface where it could be put to good use. The Lord, on this particular occasion, had been walking, hiking really, for probably about 6 hours uphill in a mountainous desert area that was extremely hot. So when he arrived at Jacob's well, he was very thirsty and tired. And so he rested himself on the well. And when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, the Lord asked her to give him a drink. Blessed Theophylact says that when she says that he is a Jew and the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, that actually what she was saying this is out of concern for the Lord, because in a way she didn't want to get him to any trouble on her account for violating any of the Jewish customs, because it's not that the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews, it's that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And so, in so doing, Blessed Theophylact says that the woman's virtue and prudence and conscientiousness is revealed. And now that he has drawn her further upwards, he begins to speak of more profound things. If thou knewest the gift of God, by which he means, if you knew what eternal blessings God bestows, and if you understood that I, being God, am able to give you these things, you would have asked for and received living water. Here, Christ refers to the gift of the Holy Spirit as water, because it spiritually cleanses and refreshes those who receive it. But the woman takes this literally. She thinks he's still talking about actual water, and asks if Christ is greater than their father Jacob, who gave them the well. But again, Christ draws her still further upward. Whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now the Samaritan woman still thinks Christ is merely talking about ordinary water, but she is willing to believe his words and begs him, well, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And seeing the woman is eager to receive what he offers, and insistent that he give it, the Lord asks her to call her husband, and in so doing reveals that she is living in sin with a man whom she is not married to, and how many husbands she's had. And yet, instead of being embarrassed and ashamed and running away, she marvels at him and becomes even more attentive, saying, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet, and asks in a question that's probably was on her mind for some time about the proper location to worship God. Because the Samaritans came to this area and, you know, they talked about how the God of this place was not pleased with them. As a matter of fact, God sent lions to attack those who would not turn to God. And so when this was revealed to them, they received instruction from the Jewish teachers, and they therefore received those first five books of the Old Testament, but they didn't really take into account all the prophets and so forth. So that's why the Jews considered them abominable, because they didn't really take in the whole of the Jewish tradition, but only a part of it. But nonetheless, they still were very reverent and still had the fear of God, and that's how the woman was able to be drawn this way. And so this mountain, which was the mountain the Samaritans believed that Abraham took Isaac to be sacrificed, is where they worshipped. And so, but she knows that the Jews said that you're supposed to worship in the temple of Jerusalem. So she wants to know, where is the right place to worship God? You know, what location is God in? But then Christ reveals to her that God is not really in any location, in a mountain or in a temple necessarily, but that he's a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so now the woman references the Messiah, because remember, they had the first five books of the Old Testament, so they had the writings of Moses about how the Messiah would come and tell us all things. And so Jesus sees that she's open and ready to hear this, and so he says, I that speak unto thee am he. So here's an ordinary person, a Samaritan woman, who actually has perceived more than many of the great elders and teachers of the Jews, who were unable to see Christ, even though they saw thousands of miracles. Whereas this woman has seen no miracles, but because of these virtues and her good-heartedness and her innocence, she was able to receive the knowledge of the truth and quickly become a vessel of the Holy Spirit. And as Blessed Theophylact puts it, the Lord's words kindled such zeal in her heart that she left her water pot and, ordained to the rank of apostle, by the faith taking hold of her heart, she teaches an entire city and draws it to Christ. And she runs into the city and tells the men there to come and see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. The Samaritan woman was willing to recognize her sins when Christ, you know, rebukes her for living in sin. And now she is even willing to acknowledge those sins before the people in the city. You know, she could have just said, hey, everybody, there's an interesting person you should come and meet. But because she makes the point that he had the ability, he had the prophetic gift to be able to see her sins and everything, that's what made such an impression on them. So by acknowledging her sins, you know, they actually were able to come to Christ. And so Blessed Theophylact said that her soul aflame with divine fire, she disregarded all earthly consequences, even shame and dishonor. And in a way, this willingness to confess her sins, risking her own reputation and thinking only to proclaim the truth, now draws the entire city to Christ. So we too should imitate this Samaritan woman as Christians. When we come to church and prepare ourselves for Holy Communion through prayer, fasting, and confession of our sins, we encounter Christ through partaking of his body and blood, and we are filled with the grace of the Holy Spirit. So our duty then is to live in a Christian way of life to such an extent that others will see our good example so that they may benefit from it, and then others will be drawn to Christ. When the disciples returned to find Jesus speaking with the Samaritan woman and brought him food, the Lord said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." And St. Nikolai Vlimirovich wrote the following about this particular passage that I thought was particularly amazing. "Here is love. Here is teaching. Here is acquiescence. Here is a model. Those who love, they also serve. If you want to find out how great your love is towards God, then measure your obedience to the will of God, and you will immediately learn. Lack of positive obedience is a sign of a lack of love. Those who love delight in fulfilling the will of the beloved. The Son of God so loved his Father that he thought it to be preferable to food to fulfill the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? The salvation of man. The Lord, the Son of God, felt an unquenchable hunger to carry out the will of the Father, and when he had saved a soul, he felt nourished with the sweetest food. See how exalted is the spirituality of Christ. Oh, my brothers, if only you knew how much Christ our Lord also hungers for our salvation. We begin our own salvation, which he offers to us. That is for him the most gladsome food. O Lord Jesus, insatiable lover of men, have mercy on us and save us. Glory to you and praise forever. Amen."